And good evening, everybody. Welcome to the 61st episode of the Open Paddock Podcast. Joining you, I'm back with fair warning, Sean. And I am missing a mic. So we've kind of just went to this whole thing of switching and swapping hosts of the radio show. So you're never going to know what you're going to get until you download it. But that being said,
kind of like Dryan Reinbolt that way.
Exactly, the Dryan Reinbolt seat here. I'm back in after breaking my back. No, I did not break my back. However, I do have Doug, as you've just previously heard. Doug, greet everybody.
Hey.
Nice. So yes, very nice analogy on the Dryan Reinbolt bit there. That was nice. So I was out for. I was on again. I was off again 1 week, on again another week, off again another week, but this week I'm back, and I do not foresee myself, knock on wood of course, going anyplace else for the foreseeable future, and I can literally hear our downloads dropping, so, you know, oh well. Well, it's been such a terrible week, Doug, in terms of motorsport news. We haven't got much of anything to talk about tonight. We've got a few things to entertain the folks, but we don't have much. So we're going to go ahead and actually get into this right now. And Doug, would you like to discuss the Indy Downforce Banquet? Because we're going to start with IndyCar, you being a Downforce member this year, me going to be a Downforce member next year. How about you tell the folks about this banquet?
It's freaking sweet. Every year, after the season, the Downforce fan club has an end of season banquet for their crew level members, and it's a giant celebration there at IMS. A bunch of the drivers come out for it, kind of a big meet and greet mixer type of thing. This year they're going even bigger than normal. It's usually been just the banquet on the Saturday night, but this year they're going to have shop tours of the Target Chip Ganassi Racing shop. Unfortunately, I didn't sign up in time, and I missed out on that. But I will be touring the Sam Schmidt Motorsports race shop, which, nice. To me, I'm happier about going to the Sam Schmidt Motorsports, just because I'm so into the ladder series, the whole Road to Indy thing. Seeing the Ganassi shop would have been cool and all, but I'm actually more stoked about going to the Sam Schmidt shop. That'll be very hip. There's a Pagoda tour.
Nice.
Get a tour of all of the facilities there in the Pagoda. Looking forward to that. There's a unfortunately, at the same time that's happening, there's also a Q&A with Donald Davidson, which would also be really, really cool to go to. So I was trying to weigh which would be better, more entertaining for all the people that I'm bringing. I could sit and listen to Donald Davidson tell stories all day long. Just so cool. But at any rate, so I'm going to the Pagoda tour along with my dad and my wife and a good friend of mine. And then let's see, there's pace car rides.
Oh, nice.
We'll get right around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in one of the IZOD IndyCar Series pace cars. That'll be very, very cool. Don't know who the drivers are going to be yet. Probably members of the pace car team, which would be Hinch, Plowy, and Kimball.
Was she just
Pippa? Doesn't? Yeah, she does. She isn't a driving member of the of the pace car team anymore.
Oh,
she started out doing that at the beginning of the season, but very early on, she I don't know what happened, but she was no longer a part of that. Although Pippa will definitely be at the banquet. My friend Phil's looking very much looking forward to that. He is quite smitten with her.
Nice.
But yeah, so Pippa, you've been warned. be on the lookout, be ready to run away. But anyway, it should be a great afternoon and evening. And for me, all these little benefits from Downforce are fantastic. But for me, the really cool thing is meeting up, with all the people that I've met and become friends with at the track through Downforce. So I'm really looking forward to a good night of swapping racetrack stories and bullshit and all that with some fellow racing fans.
It's going to be great because I've seen on via Twitter, I know that they're expecting Graham Rahal to be there, as well as, like you said, a number of the Indy Lights drivers. And that right there should, I mean, that right there, if you're an IndyCar fan and you're not part of Downforce, I'm just going to throw it out there, you're wrong. Because, I mean, you just heard the list of things that Doug gets to do over the banquet weekend. I do not get to do those because I am not a member, even though I am a fan and now insanely jealous. And also, that it doesn't just stop there though, because you can go out to the race parties at your local track for the Eyes Dot IndyCar Series. You can also, you can talk to the drivers before the race or with the pre-race parties. I mean, it just has so many benefits. You can win two-seater rides at the racetracks. Like Doug, he got, what'd you get a two-seater around? Have you ridden a two-seater around Indy?
Not around Indy. I won a pace car ride
Yeah.
around Indy
You got the
with
two.
Scott Pruitt as my driver.
That right there.
That was freaking sweet.
The guy's a legend. But I know that you did get the two-seater at Mid-Ohio.
I did.
And you said that was quite possibly the most amazing experience.
Yes.
Yes. So.
Absolutely brilliant. But you're right. Those the pre-race parties, that alone is worth the price of admission for me. It's so cool the level of access that you have to the drivers, and just the camaraderie with fellow fans and all that. It's brilliant. I love it.
Where else? No, I will put this out there right now, and I don't care what kind of email hate I get. No fan club for really any sporting event that I've ever heard of is actually on par with what the Eyes on IndyCar Series will give you. And
No.
I'm not just selling it because, we cover IndyCar, we're huge IndyCar fans. I'm saying it because it is absolute fact. Are you gonna get to talk to, are you gonna get to talk to Chris Johnson or Peyton Manning before the Colts game on the field? No. I was on, I mean, honestly, no. I was down, I had field passes for the St. Louis Rams and Washington Redskins when they came to town a couple weeks ago. And I went down on the
Oh,
field.
wow, nice.
Yeah, right. I took some photos and that was really it, and I stood there. I didn't get to talk. I didn't get to talk to Sam Bradford or Steven Jackson. Was I close? Yeah, I was close, but I didn't get to talk to him before they played the game. So, there it is.
Oh yeah, and the other thing I'll add is that there are other series where you do have pretty good access to the drivers. Rally America, perfect example. During the service parks or the park exposé, you just fantastic access to the cars and to the drivers. But when you look at what Downforce offers, it's more than just access. There's a lot of other perks that go along with it. You're not going to be able to go to a pre-race party or draw for a rally stage ride with Ken Block or somebody like that. It's just not going to happen.
No.
Whereas with Downforce, yeah, you can win a or you can take a hot lap if you're fortunate enough with one of the Indy Lights drivers. You can either be fortunate enough to actually secure a two-seater ride, or they have deep discounts on the two-seater rides for Downforce members, and so you're not going to be able to do that in any other series. You're just not.
No.
The Downforce fan club is I, and you said it best. If you're an IndyCar fan, I don't know how you're not a member.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's cheap. It's like what, like $30 a year?
That's it. It's just shy of $30 a year.
Yeah.
So that's what, $2 a race?
Yeah, $2 a race. You meet
I
all
mean,
the fans you
seriously.
want. You get all this kind of prizes and stuff. I mean, it's a
It's
steal.
less than $2 a race.
Yeah, it's a steal. It's absolutely the IndyCar series letting you rob them. So you might as well. I mean, they have enough problems. We're not gonna be that big of a dent. So please get out there next year. And you'd say the first part of the year, then we need to let them first part of the year is when you want to sign up. So not now. Don't do it now. But on the first, what do you want to call it?
January
Yeah,
1.
January 1, right after that bell dings, midnight. Get on the old computer, register up, and get you a full 12 months of downforce that'll cover the whole year, and then you can go to the banquet and do sweet stuff like Doug's gonna do. So,
Absolutely.
all right. Well, we also have an article that's got you scratching your head from the vault of Gordon Kirby. So, would you like to explain to us exactly what that is?
Yeah, there's been if you frequent the forums there on IndyCar.com, there's quite a buzz about this article by Gordon Kirby. I have to give thanks to Declan Brennan here for this. He was the one that tipped me off to this before I saw it hit the forums. It's very thought-provoking. I haven't quite made up my mind exactly how to take this. I need to reread it several more times because there's a lot of politics kind of wrapped up. Politics and marketing kind of wrapped up behind some of the actual legitimate facts in the article, but I say it's an article by Gordon Kirby, but it really isn't. It's more of a monologue by Ulrich Baretsky from Audi. He's the he is what he does the engine guy.
Okay.
Let's see. We find his official title, head of engine development
Oh, okay.
for Audi Sport. So basically, in charge of the racing engine program. Of course, he comes out very juiced about the ALMS program and the GRE,
Okay.
the new the Global Racing Engine platform. Because of that, he's a huge fan of the Delta Wing concept, which of course the GRE is perfectly suited for. It's a perfect fit for the Delta Wing concept, a non-stress four-cylinder engine. But he slams, I mean, just body slams the IndyCar series and especially Randy Bernard for let me see if I can find this quickly. Do 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 do. Baretsky is frustrated that the IndyCar failed to embrace the GRE for its 2012 formula. Earlier this year, Randy Bernard told me not a single manufacturer was ready to proceed with a GRE in time for 2012, but Baretsky refutes that assertion. Let's see, do, 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 do. Where's the little bit that I was looking for where he just slams IndyCar? I'm not seeing it right now. But as I, re if I, the gist of it was that he basically called Bernard and the other IndyCar brass cowards, basically for not going with the GRE four cylinder platform.
Okay.
And okay, I understand the perspective that he's taking here. He's trying to promote his product, right? And the
Agreed.
product that they're going to be pushing out is really very ALMS based, and that's heading towards the GRE type of platform. And so, I understand he's in the business of promoting his company, and so he's going to have a particular spin on this. But saying that that IndyCar series et al. Were cowards for not embracing the Delta Wing concept, I think that's a bit harsh. When you look at where the series is right now and how much of a complete unknown the Delta Wing platform really is. I think that was a bit harsh and a bit unfair. But do go take a read, make up your own mind. Beretsky does make some very good points, and some things that I think it would behoove the league to be paying attention to. But I think he's just a bit too, I guess, harsh in his criticism. I will say there's nothing that we've heard from Kottman or anybody else involved that says that you can't take a GRE and make it part of your engine program. The engine for the proposed chassis by Dallara for 2012 is to be a stressed member of the chassis. It's a stressed engine format. However, this was a question that I posed to Jill DeFerrin very directly at Mid-Ohio. Could you make a this being a stressed member mandate, does that rule out someone bringing a four cylinder or something like that? He said, absolutely not. There's nothing against making a carriage that would make an unstressed engine to the chassis so that the frame, the carriage would be stressed, and then that would carry the engine with it. So you could certainly use a GRE with an appropriate carriage around it, so that you're reinforcing the engine, directing the stresses, I guess, away from the block. But everyone is saying, well, this mandates a V6 and only a V6, and I'm not seeing that. Everything that we've heard says you can use up to six cylinders and up to, what is it, 2.4 liters, I think. But there's nothing against taking a 1.6 liter I4 twin turbo with the crap boosted out of it and make a very fine little racing engine for the IndyCar series.
I
I
agree.
don't I don't see why that's a problem.
No, and I don't think that's very fair for him. Granted, I have respect for the Audi brand for what they've done.
Oh, absolutely.
However, they're not really in the position that the IndyCar series is, in the sense that you cannot jump on the Delta Wing, which everybody resoundingly was like, this thing looks like crap, and we don't care what it does. We're not watching it. We're not watching that hideous thing, go around the track. Okay, yeah, it's got great engineering points to it, but at the same point, you got to understand the position the series is in, that if they field these cars and people stop coming to the race because they look like crap, that alone sinks the series. You cannot take that kind of a chance when you're in the situation they are. And for him to lash out calling them cowards for not jumping onto it, well, how about we put Audi in that position where, they can potentially go out of business off of a single decision like that. And I
Yeah.
mean, are you going to be taking that same chance? Put your money where your mouth is. What are you going to do?
Yeah, that's it exactly. Going with the Delta Wing would have been equivalent to an all-in bet.
Yeah, you might as well have just taken a gun out and shot yourself in the face because you would have got the same result.
Maybe not, but it really is equivalent to just pushing all your chips in the middle. And it's either you're either going to win big or you're going to go home. You know, and that's the way the whole Delta Wing thing was going to go down. If they went with that, and all their chips were in the middle, it was either going to work or it would have been the end of IndyCar racing, pure and simple. I'm not real happy with their selection of Dallara. I think I made that clear back when they had that announcement. You know, what they've done is they've made a bet that they can get away from. If this thing doesn't go well in 2010, they're only in a 3-year contract with it. And so in 2015, if that doesn't go well and the Delta Wing has showed itself to be a viable racing chassis that people are interested in seeing on track, there's plenty of time then to make the switch. But just going all in with the Delta Wing right out the start, man, no, that would have been a
Suicide.
bad business. It really could have been.
And you say that, you know, you use the poker terms and the equivalent of going all in, you know, either you're going to win huge or you're going to go home. And I think that this just, and I know that it's not fair to judge it like this, but just off the looks alone, you are looking at going all in with a 7-2 off suit.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, not even suited.
Yeah,
Not
not
even
even
suited.
suited. You don't even have a chance at the flush. All right, so. So, you know, that's just my opinion, you know. I mean, I think that if you go in with that, it's a 7-2, you're going to get beat more than likely, with a small chance of, you know, the fans actually watching a race and saying, "Huh, this thing's not too bad." But, you know,
Yeah,
I
I'd
just
really like to see the Delta Wing show itself on a track first.
Yeah.
You know, if here's the thing, people always say about IndyCar racing, well, it's all about the innovation. It always has been, and that'd be fantastic if it still were. You know, and unfortunately, it isn't. You know, if it were, we could have you know, the variety of cars that we had in the 80s and the 90s, and then someone brings a couple of Delta Wings to the party. Hey, I'm all right with that. You know, when we think about, well, for example, the Lotus 38. When we think about when that came to Indianapolis, everybody's running these front-engine roadsters and brought this little European piece of crap. What the hell's that? And you know, it wasn't something where the league decided we're going to move away from these things that everybody's been watching forever. And switch to this thing that has been proven here in the States, let alone on a giant oval like Indianapolis, and just put all of our eggs in that basket. No, they didn't do that. You know, they Lotus brought over the 38, put Jimmy Clark in the cockpit, and once they showed the concept was viable, you know, by You know, in dramatic fashion by winning the 1965 500. You know, then at that point you're looking at a platform that had some merit, that had some credentials behind it, that had proven itself on track, and then you saw everybody going to the rear engine format. You know, if it was still a situation where someone could bring in a couple of Delta Wings and race those alongside the Dallaras, then that would be a different matter, and I would not be so kind of anti-Delta Wing as I have been. But when you're talking about just going with 33 of them. You know, a whole field of them, and you know, regardless of what, well, in spite of the fact that they have yet to turn a wheel on a race course, let alone having an actual prototype built. You know, keep in mind that the only thing they had constructed was a wind tunnel foam model.
Okay.
That was it,
Yeah.
Lola, Swift, Dallara, Bat, they didn't have full scale models either. However, they were working on basically just different versions of the existing platform. It wasn't a completely new platform
Yeah.
like the Delta was. So I think they made the right decision. If the Delta Wing turns out to be viable, it sounds like there really is an effort and a movement to get this thing on a racetrack, which is
Yeah.
fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And if it turns out to be a viable platform and a racy platform, then in 2015, when the Dallara contract for the 2012 chassis runs out, I'd be all for seeing what that thing would do at Indianapolis. But I want to see it proven first.
Yeah. That's a true statement. That's fair. So, well, that is. Are you finished with your rant?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, no, I'm just
That's
kidding.
a long
No,
rant.
I'm just kidding. It's good stuff to hear, obviously, with the techno aspect. I just didn't want to cut you off from any of your ideas, as we may have robbed our fan base your ideas. And actually, people like it when you talk about technological things. I don't know if I've told you that, but people are a fan of your technological speak. So,
Yay. Hey, techies.
yay! But all right, well, let's see. Jumping in, kind of knocking two birds with a stone here. Formula One. We'll just crack into the news, rumors, and all of that with Formula One. All three stories. So yeah, we've got Korea this weekend, and we knew that the race barely even made it to the it barely even made it onto the schedule for this year.
Well, we don't know if they're going to race yet.
Yeah, well, it's been given the green light. And
Yes.
teams and cars are heading there, so we'll assume for this
They will have an
episode
event.
that they will have it. Yes, or that
They'll
they'll
have
have
an
something.
event. I'm not convinced yet that they'll actually have a Grand Prix.
That would be the biggest. That, oh. If that happens, it's going to be the biggest coup in sports history. This will make baseball lockouts look ridiculous.
Have you seen pictures of the track?
Yeah, it's not good. It is a sketchy situation there.
It's
And
very sketchy.
we're hoping, as it was said previous episodes, we're hoping that the cars don't literally pull the asphalt out of place, seeing as though it was just laid. And what they say, usually it's about a 6 months before the race, you have to have track approval, and they've had like 6 days.
I think I remembered it was a 90-day the minimum was 90 days prior to a GP that you needed to have FIA approval. And they did it I think 2 weeks out.
And fail. Yeah, so we'll see if they actually race and see once the race, if they do race, once they begin actually circuiting the track, we'll see how well the track holds up to their punishment. So
Yeah,
that'll be
that
interesting.
first day of practice is going to be really interesting.
Yes.
They might want to have Daytona Motor Speedway on speed dial.
Nice. What do we
Where'd
do?
y'all
What
get that
do we do?
epoxy?
Yeah, right. So let's hope that, and there is rumors that Ferrari is actually building specific parts for the potholes, but it was also considered to be a movable floor device. So, no, I'm just kidding.
Nice.
Haha, I'll be here all week. No, so, yep, no Ferrari upgrades for that. However, Felipe Massa, it's been a bit obvious that he is the number two, obviously. Fernando Alonso is better than him, so he's number two. He pulls over for Alonso. That just solidified that, in fact, he is number two. And he has been that way since the Schumacher days when he got there. However, he is saying, and coming out rather defiantly, and is saying that he wants to help Ferrari and Correa, and will do everything he can to actually make that happen, to help his driver, Fernando Alonso, secure the championship. So he wants to be a factor and rob points from other drivers.
Well, isn't that being a Barrichello?
Oh yeah, it's Barrichello for sure. The
Yeah,
question is he
and
hasn't been fast enough all year to be a factor with the cars that he needs to be a factor with.
no. Here's the deal about Massa. I love his passion. And even though I am not a Ferrari fan, I think we all already know that. I am a huge Massa fan. I like Massa. I like watching him drive. Especially in the rain when he goes spinning round and round. That's really fun.
Nice.
But no, he is a very skilled driver, and but the thing is he's not there in the elite bunch. He is not a Fernando Alonso. He is not a Hamilton. That's just the way of it. He can be defiant and full of bravado all he wants, but he's going to be a number two. The only way that he might not have been a number two is if he were in Weber's Red Bull. In a situation, because Weber is kind of the same way. He has a level of talent, well, like Button. In fact, I would put all three of them kind of in the same kind of class, where they're extremely talented race car drivers, capable of winning Grand Prix, but their odds of winning a championship are very long. Button had everything fall exactly right for him last year. Weber, same thing is happening this year. Everything is falling in place for him exactly right. Although he's kind of up against it here towards the end of the season. I don't know if he'll be able to hold it out. I'm thinking that he will, but man, only just. But we saw the same thing with Nicky Hayden in MotoGP. Great driver, or a rider, I should say, but he's not the elite of the elite. Everything had to fall exactly right for him in 2006 for him to win his world championship. Massa almost had that happen. What was that, 2008, that he almost won the championship? But that was his shot. And failing that, I'm sorry, Phil, but you're a number two. It's just the way of it.
And he hasn't been faster than Weber or Vettel all year. And I don't, even though, the Ferrari has a, good amount of pace, Massa's Ferrari does not have a good amount of pace. And to
Massa
be a,
can't extract the pace from it like
he,
Alonso
yeah.
can.
And so he, to be a, he's not going to be a factor just sheerly based off the fact that he, his car or him as a driver in that car cannot actually put together the pace to challenge the people he needs to challenge, which is Mark Webber and Sebastian Vettel. And it's just not going to happen. And that's why I don't think Ferrari or Fernando Alonso, well, definitely not Ferrari, but that is why I don't think Fernando Alonso is going to be champion. He does not have somebody to help him well enough to do so. No, he, Phil Massa is not going to steal points in the last three races unless somebody DNFs. And even then, one of the other two Red Bulls is going to be winning the race. So, I mean, there's just not, you can't, even if Vettel DNFs this next race, it's not going to matter because he's not going to be faster than Weber. So he will never steal points from anybody. But, I mean, you're right. He's in a group. And, the group, unfortunately, now has a world champion. And may have two by the end of the year, but I just don't think that they're necessarily championship caliber. So, number two, or support driver caliber, yes. Actually taking the team by the horns, leading it, and securing victory in championships, no. And last year we all know was, I know that he won the championship, Button did, I'll give you that, but we knew last year was a bit of a fluke in terms of, the rules changes were so radically different. And, Honda and Braun had so much time to prepare that car. I mean, it was ridiculous with a big budget. So, it was a bit of a fluke. Am I happy? Sure, Button has championship. That's great. I always liked him back in his days in the Williams when he first came into the sport. But, yeah, just
Well,
not.
like we said, everything fell together exactly right for him. And in saying these things, I want to really be clear that we're not trying to take away from these drivers.
No, or downgrade them in any way that they don't deserve to even be in a car.
Exactly. And they absolutely deserve the Button deserved the championship that he won last year.
Well, yeah, he didn't cheat to get it.
No, and you still had to drive the car.
Yeah.
The car wasn't on autopilot.
No.
He still had to race it. And same way with Weber this year. If he's able to secure his championship here this year, absolutely, he'll have earned every accolade that he gets. Because again, the car doesn't drive itself. He had to race it to that championship. But same time, it takes more than just driving. It also takes the right confluence of circumstance.
Yes, circumstances is the word there. So we'll just have to see what happens with Phil, see if he's actually going to become his the thorn in the side that he aspires to be. But we'll see. Also, let's see. So we have Kriya and Massa, but let's talk about the last bit of F1 news, big F1 news that came out, and that is we will have a Grand Prix in Russia in starting about 2014.
Yeah.
Yay. I think that it's great that you're having a race in Russia. I don't really have much against the Russians. I just think that and this is actually going to tie into a miniature rant I have about the current state of things, because there's been a lot of talk now about the three superpowers coming into Formula One, the United States, China, and Russia. And, they're like, and also talk this week as well of Spa shutting down again, or not shutting down, but being kicked off the F1 calendar if they can't make funds, which we already knew.
Retarded.
Yeah, we're preaching to the choir there. Everybody already knows that Spa is here this week, not here next week, and all that. But the fact of the matter is this. Bernie thinks that these Grand Prix in Russia, Istanbul, China, United States, he thinks that they're going to be these awesome events. And if you look at what we've had with Istanbul and China, it's just not. It's just not. And I don't think that this Russian even, granted, it's still years down the road, but I mean, the Russians, what, aside of Petrov, what do the Russians have in Formula One? What have they ever had?
I don't know, and I'm trying to think. All right, well, who is this for? Who benefits from a GP in Russia? What,
Nobody.
unless they're really trying to generate a kind of a new wave of tourism to Russia, and this is being held in a resort city. Which I know that kind of doesn't sound right, does it? A resort city
No, and
in Russia. But I
it's
mean,
yeah.
this is on the in the well, hang on. Let me find out exactly where this is.
I think it's Sochi.
And Sochi is down in the southern end of Russia along the Black Sea, right?
Yes, it is, and it's just south of Chechnya.
Ooh.
Yeah. Have fun.
It's a little dodgy.
Book your
Well,
travel
we are
plan.
going to Korea
Well, yeah.
next week, so there you are then.
Plan your F1, your Russian Grand Prix 2014 trip very wisely.
Duck and
So,
cover.
yes. Yes.
But no, so it's not up in the Siberian hinterlands, your stereotypical view of Russia, or I guess me being the uneducated person with regards to Russian culture and all that. Whenever I hear of Russia, I always think of the stereotypical, it's snow and ice and ick and
Moscow,
nasty Moscow,
the
St.
Kremlin.
Petersburg. Yeah.
Yeah, it is in
Actually, I
Sochi.
would like to see St. Petersburg. I've heard that's a really beautiful city.
Oh, nice.
But yeah. But anyway,
Well, you can go. It's down in Florida. No, I'm just kidding.
they have
Yeah,
a street race down there.
IndyCar.
But
So.
yeah. But I yeah. That Bernie's going there because Vladimir gave him a crap load of money.
Yep.
There's probably about 30 million reasons why he's going to Russia.
And if you really look at it, this is going to be, I think, this is also a good test for Russia, because they are hosting, in 2014. Not only are they going to race in Sochi in 2014, but they're also going to have the Winter Olympics in 2014. And that what better way to start testing your stuff or your tourism, your infrastructure, if you will, for the Winter Olympics than have a Formula One race. And if you're trying to branch out to a new group of people, or a new tourism market, I think that having a Formula One race in 2014 is good so that you can test the things that you have in place for the Winter Olympics. So.
Yeah, and although whether or not they will actually race in 2014 if they have the Olympics there is hasn't been fully decided yet,
Yeah.
from what I heard on TSR.
Hmm.
So, if they secure the Olympics, the GP might get moved back to 2015.
Well, they have the Olympics. They're
Oh,
going
do they
to
have it? Is
they
it
have
secured?
The Olympics. They've already done the torch and pass off and everything. So Sochi is it.
Ah, okay.
So.
Now then, they may postpone until 2015, then, depending on how things move.
But like I said, I mean, there's no better way, I don't think, of testing your of test. If you're gonna host the infrastructure, you might as well host the Grand Prix about summertime, I'd say. And have a bunch of people in. Now, granted, obviously the crowd is not going to be the size it's going to be for the Olympics, or the
Yeah.
Winter Olympics, rather, because everybody knows that I'd rather watch world hockey, ice hockey in the Winter Olympics than I would the Russian Grand Prix. But now,
Yeah, on a street race.
yeah, on a street race, no less, in Sochi. But, I think it makes
Can you
sense for.
imagine how huge the hockey tournament is going to be
Oh, my
there
goodness.
in Russia? That's going to be insane.
United States versus Russia, the rematch.
Yes.
We'll see.
They should put on the old CCCP
That would
uniforms.
be awesome.
Yeah.
Not that I, because I am a fan of that, but that would be awesome just because it would be like the
Just
Lake
for the
Placid,
retro
yeah,
feel,
the
yeah.
retro feel. I think that would have a couple people in Ukraine a little concerned.
Yes,
But
yes,
they're like,
yes.
oh, did we miss something? So,
They're like, ah, crap, not again.
yeah, so we'll have to see exactly what happens with that. But there it is, Russian race 2014. So, well, let's just go ahead and move on to the next topic, as we don't want to bust our 61 minutes, but we are giving a lot of due diligence to these topics. We will go ahead and talk about some IndyCar, as we have the IndyCar season or silly season or off season has really taken off a bit slow. We took off really fast and then just like hit a brick wall because we had the Kanaan, the Ryan Hunter Ray stuff, and all that good fun going down, and then it just stopped.
Yeah, and we still have no word on Weldon. We have no word on Wilson. We have no word on Graham. We have no word on Ray Hall.
Ask him what he wants, Sean.
You know, or Kadan either. That's the other driver I was trying to think of that didn't have a ride just yet. Everybody's still kind of up in the air. You did mention a Q&A that Inside the Race had with Dario Franchitti and Chip Ganassi, where they made it clear, and I kind of read the same thing on Trackside Online, that there wasn't going to be a third Target Chip Ganassi car, but that they might farm one out. Is that right?
That is actually what they're talking about, farming one out to a smaller team that doesn't necessarily run the budget that Chip Ganassi does. Yeah. So they're looking at a development team, if you will, to run a fraction of the budget, and they think that they can be competitive with a satellite team, if you will, with a young up and coming driver. And, you know, so that's what they're trying to, that's what they're trying to accomplish, or what they may be trying to accomplish.
Well, there's two teams immediately that come to my mind. As TSO said, Sam Schmidt obviously jumps right to the forefront. And they've had a relationship in the 500 for past two, 3 years now of being a satellite of Chip Ganassi for that one race. Okay. I could see them easily, you know, coming in with a young talent like Ray Hall, and having, you know, Sam Schmidt be kind of like the satellite organization, being supported by Target Chip Ganassi Racing. I can also see Brian Herta Autosport in that role as well.
Yeah.
Another name that comes... Well, no. I'm going to veto my own little idea that comes to mind. At first, I was thinking, you could see Derek Walker Racing. But I don't think they're really in a situation... I don't think they're in a place yet where they can come back to the top tier of open wheel racing just yet. They've had a good run this past season with Dan Clark, but I don't know if they're quite ready to make the jump up to the Izod IndyCar Series. Although that could be proven wrong. It's happened a time or twice in the past. last decade, not this decade.
Well, look at it. I mean, if they have just a couple... I mean, even if they run it, like, what is Target Ganassi run? Like a $10 million budget?
Yeah, around that. And I think the satellite team is looking on the order of $3 to $4
million. And if depending on how much money Ray Hall's team is willing or sponsor is willing to bring, I mean, I think that would be a good fit.
I think so, too.
And it would give them, I think, whomever it is, with just that kind of budget alone, you can be competitive.
You know, as I mentioned, Derek Walker Racing, if they took up the satellite position, they wouldn't be bringing Graham. They would definitely be bringing Speedy Dan. Sam Schmidt, I could very easily see running Graham with their money and running a second car for one of their Indy Lights drivers, whoever those end up being for next year for the 500. So you'd have basically a four-car Ganassi effort, the two Target cars and then two satellite cars. All this right now is wild speculation.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing we really know right now is that Ganassi is willing to run a satellite team.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And on the driver front for Ganassi as well. It's not looking very promising for our early silly season rumors, as if you guys ever go out to insidetherace.com, they actually had a Q&A of sorts with Ganassi and Franchitti shortly after the championship. And in it, you already mentioned that they went to the Dixon thing.
No. I mentioned that they had the Q&A.
Oh yeah, well they had the Q&A. I'm just resending the love to them.
All right.
Sorry.
They deserve it.
Yes, they do. They're cool people. We went over to, but anyways, Chip mentions in that Q&A, talking about his current team, with both the 9 and the 10 machine, and it sounds as though as it's going to be the exact same thing as it was this year. He says that he likes the two, obviously the two drivers he has now. He doesn't want to mess up that chemistry by bringing in a new talent, but yet the third car that we had just mentioned, that would probably be a better option for him. So, yay. There we have it. That's,
So Dixon sounds pretty secure in his ride then.
yeah. Dix, I'm saying, what I'm saying is Dixon should sleep easy.
Yeah.
And let's see. And you also, did you already mention the Road to Indy testing?
No, I didn't.
Because
There's
there's a lot.
a crap load of testing going on. Connor Daly has been a testing fool.
Yeah.
He's been over in Europe lately. He had a test with Manor in a GP3 car.
Okay.
And he did very well. I mean, he was only top 10 on the charts overall,
Okay.
but he was the top Manor driver.
There you go.
So yeah, good stuff there. I haven't heard how his test with Status GP at Jerez went. I'll have to look that up later. But he's also got a test in an Indy Lights car with Anderson Racing. That'll be sometime next week at Sebring. So,
This kid is a high commodity.
well, you're not kidding, man.
People want him in that car badly.
Yes.
So.
Being greedy, I would like to see him in Indy Lights. Although, really, where he wants to be is in Europe, and he's got a lot of people interested. I mean, both those teams, Matter and Status, could really put him on a path to get him into Formula One pretty easily. After what we've seen of him in Star Mazda, if he can continue to adapt to the higher horsepower cars at each level, he could finally give us a legitimate fast driver in Formula One.
Oh, I think so. He's brilliant talent.
Someone who would actually be capable of securing Grand Prix wins if he gets in with the right team.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. But man, I if he goes to Europe, I'm not going to be able to see him race. That's just it. And so that's why I say I'm greedy. I want to see him stay here. But that's thinking of myself and not of his career. So wherever he ends up, I will definitely be following how he's doing. But there's been a number of other announcements of Indy Lights testing. Jorge Gonsalves.
See?
Yes. Some of these names. That's a really tough thing about being a teacher. Is I always look at the roster a couple of days before the beginning of classes. And I'm like, Oh, I'm not going to be able to pronounce these.
Nice.
And sure enough, there's always a couple that I butcher, no matter how hard I try.
Nice.
But anyway, Gonclaves,
All right.
that's going to be my best effort.
All right, I'll take it.
He's got a test with Team Moore.
All right.
He finished fourth in the in Star Mazda this year, and Tristan Vautier, or Vautier, pardon me, no N, is another Star Championship contender. He will also be racing with Anderson Racing, or I'm sorry, testing with Anderson Racing, and a whole host of others. Michael Ramiz and Felipe Stenev. You can see all this over at Ryan's site, Junior
Oh,
Open
yep.
Wheel Talent. The stuff that guy does is just amazing. Check it out. There's a bunch of talent in Star Mazda that will be racing next or that we'll be testing here next week in Indy Lights cars. And surely that means that some of these guys are going to be moving up. Some of them are going to be successful in their tests, and they're going to land rides in the Indy Lights series, and that's great. We want to see that continual upward motion, up through the ladder. And tomorrow, stay tuned. There is an announcement coming tomorrow, a joint IndyCar-USAC announcement. That's going to have Randy Bernard, Kevin Miller, as the president CEO of USAC, Roger Bailey of executive director for Firestone and Indy Lights, Tony George Jr., who's the kind of the business leader for Indy Lights, Brian Clausen, a USAC driver, and Levi Jones, also a USAC driver.
Nice.
There's an announcement coming there about the much rumored program to feed USAC drivers into the Indy Lights series. It used to be that USAC Silver Crown champions and top talent would move right into IndyCar, but now that the two styles of racing are so diverged, they split apart and become so different, that I think they've got it right. Bringing the USAC champion into the Indy Firestone and Indy Lights series really probably is the better route. Get them used to the rear engine aerodynamic car, where you're not sitting there turning right to go left, type of thing, sliding with your rear wheel, out there and out there to the side of you. So this is another good thing, another good positive route for drivers from USAC to come into the ladder to Indy Lights, and hopefully sometime soon we'll also be hearing something on the Star Mazda front that there's a deal in the works to get a Star Mazda scholarship up to Firestone and Indy Lights. I know that's been a huge objective of Mr. Bernard's here in this off season, is to really shore up that ladder. He's spoken to that on several occasions, that in order for IndyCar to be successful, the ladder program must be successful. This USAC thing is one aspect of that, and so I'm really looking forward to what comes down tomorrow. And I know I've been lax in my updates there on the website, but well, quite frankly, there's not been a lot going on in the motorsports world, and there's been a crap load of stuff going on in the day-to-day work world, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So
I hear that.
yeah. Sorry, folks, but I promise you some thoughts on the announcement tomorrow.
We'll look forward to that. So, all right, well, that's it for IndyCar 2, isn't it?
Yeah, there's really not much else. Silly season is kind of stagnated. All the drivers that we were talking about last week, we could say the same things again this week. There's just been no movement.
Well, that means it's time for Rally.
Woo!
Yeah, so, again, about two stories worth in Rally as well. It's been real pathetic. But actually, I can conjure up a third, but it won't take long. But many actually came out last week with the ProDrive contingency, saying that their progress currently is well ahead of where they had anticipated it being, and that they're not ruling out maybe starting the season early. We'll have to see. Right now it's slated for Rome, but we're not sure if they're going to start in Rome or start someplace else, and they may actually run more races, or more rallies rather, than originally thought. So we'll have to wait to see what happens with that. David Lapworth, who's the technical director at Mini, is very, he's very happy with the way things are going, and he's still kind of holding the cards close to his vest, if you will. There's an analogy you can appreciate.
Yes, sir.
And so we'll just have to see as time goes on. We can't even really speculate anything on that. WRC has come out and said that they're going to be doing more television coverage. They're going to have a lot of new programming, and I'm not just talking about with what they're doing in the rallies. It looks like that they're going to actually have they're going to start trying to integrate 3D graphics on the onboard footage, so 3D graphics. They're also looking at having an hour show highlighting the final stage of the rally or of the day.
Oh, nice. So half hour, then an hour?
Yeah.
That type of format.
It'll be an hour
each night.
Yeah, it may. Actually, it may only be the last night. I'll have to get further confirmation, but I think it may be the last night of the rally, like a super special. But the real promising thing is that guys from all over the world really were there to talk about it, from all countries, including Japan, Russia, China, and the United States, of course, was there. And the thing that should actually make you feel good is that the North One Sport is going to look at a different sales team, a global sales team rather, this coming from WRC.com, that is actually going to be headed by former ESPN International and Champ Car World Series executive Mark Riley, who will join the company as media director.
Nice.
So,
what's this mean Riley for coverage here in the States?
Well, it's ESPN. Granted, ESPN International.
Formerly.
Yeah.
Formerly of ESPN.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, right? he could use, what I'm saying is he's a U.S., he's worked in Champ Car. He knows what the United States is looking for. He's not a stranger to entertaining the United States audience.
Cool.
So, as well.
I'm okay with being on HD theater because I get HD theater.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah.
But the one thing is I really, really wish that we had same-day coverage.
Yeah.
Really wish we had same-day coverage. I remember when WRC was on Speed and how brilliant that was.
Oh, yeah.
Before they went and nerfed it all. Became a NASCAR TV.
Yeah.
With cooking shows and talent shows.
Durr. And the NASCAR package.
Yeah. I've liked them on HD Theater. I I hope this goes in the direction of allowing us to have same day coverage.
Well, that would be nice. Last story before we get into Spain. Actually, this is something I heard on Total Rally. Total Rally Radio. Go to TotalRally.com tomorrow. Download the podcast if you can't listen to the show live, but it's just phenomenal. Just phenomenal coverage of rally all over. I oftentimes submit questions and
I
stuff.
Heard one of your questions the
oh,
other
yeah,
week.
For,
that was awesome.
For,
yeah.
That was for Dave Richards.
Yeah.
I was
yes,
curious.
Yes, that was it. That
and,
was it. Yeah.
And I must stress that I only submit questions on a fan basis there. I do not submit those, you know, because it's nearly impossible for us to get a hold of anybody that has to do with WRC here in the States. But I listen to the show. I enjoy the show as a rally fan, and I ask my questions as a rally fan as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not so if the boys are listening, I'm not trying to take cheeky interview questions away to then take and put on my show. I listen to the show as a fan. I think Colin Clark does a brilliant job. As well as all the guys there in the studio, so I love it.
Yeah, it is a fantastic show. I have got to admit.
But they come out and said that that next year's cars are that everybody who will race next year's car will be under either the M Sport banner or under Citroën banner. No privateers are going to be allowed to purchase the new cars.
Really?
Yes, you will. You can purchase a car. You can purchase. They will provide you a car to drive, but you yourself cannot. They work on the car.
Oh, so it'll be a lease type of arrangement.
Yeah, because what they want is they don't want you taking. Because apparently these cars have some uber sophisticated kind of stuff going on. I mean, we're talking. There's game changers on these cars that people not. Want to
so Citroën doesn't in. Want Ford buying a customer Citroën and then reverse engineering it.
Pretty much. So Citroën will run. Citroën, you will be under the Citroën banner. They will not let you take the car. So, cool. So yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, because yeah, I think that degrades the sport a bit, to be honest. I understand their motivation.
They just don't. They just don't want Petter Solberg getting a bigger contract from Ford and then just spilling his guts on what's happening.
Right. Yeah. Like, they can. Well, I have this 700-page technical document.
From... Exactly. We've seen this before. It's like a bad episode. So yeah, it's so that also I heard that on the show. So credit to them. But I figured I'd mention it because that was new for me. I hadn't heard that the teams are going to be so stringent with their factory teams, because Wilson is going to actually run the Monster team, the Stobart team, the factory Ford team, if you will, or the BP Abu Dhabi team. they are going to run that. Nice. That's awesome. I hope everybody heard that, because I am not editing it. And I want
oh, wow.
Send
Where'd that come
mail.
From?
Send hate mail to doug@openpaddock.net. So
Boy.
Kill him.
yeah. Sorry about that, folks.
Okay. So let's just go ahead and plow right into the rally, our race previews, if we will, bridging the gap with the Spain. Rally Spain or Rally de España, you know. However you want to say it, I'll just choose Rally Spain. is this weekend?
It's so much fun to say España. Yeah.
España, Estrada.
It's so much more exotic.
Yeah. So it's this weekend. Championships are decided, so nothing really on the line in terms of except for maybe the Yari Matti Petter Solberg championship bout for the third on the. For third in the championship, but outside of that, nothing really. However, you made a good point in the show notes. You know, hey, could this be a rally where Ford kind of just passes off the cars to the boys? Because you know, obviously, there's going to be no chance that the Ford car is going to win on asphalt unless both Loeb, Ogier, or all Loeb, Ogier, and Sordo crash. There's just no chance, and. You know, they'll
well, there's no chance of anybody winning except Loeb, unless Loeb just drives through the countryside, hand out the window, waving at the fans.
Which I'm not entirely sure I'm going to roll with that. I think that since the championship is shored up, I am not so certain that Citroen may let Sordo win.
They may ask Loeb to, hey, just kind of back off, wave to the fans, cruise through the countryside.
Yeah, because if you look at it, the championship's decided. They're heading to France, or not France, I'm sorry. They just came from France. They're heading to Spain. Sordo's Spanish, still needs his first win in a Citroën, and it's Tarmac. He's a Tarmac ace. I really think that we may see Loeb's dominance on Tarmac come to an end. And I wouldn't be surprised. So,
well, I don't know that you'd really call it his dominance coming to an end.
Well, yeah, his streak.
His choosing not to be dominant.
Yeah.
I think is really his streak, what it's going
to be. Yeah, his streak will come to an end of victories. His dominance will still be there, and he could easily win the race the rally if he wanted. He would massacre Solberg. Or not.
You can go out and Duplessis' two-wheel drive rabbit.
Yeah.
And kick everyone's butt on the tarmac.
Yeah, I agree. So
I mean, he's that good.
But you made a good point. Could Ford and the boys, throw the Ford cars to dry pretty much, hey, just go drive around. We don't really have a chance. We'll save our chips for Rally GB when we try to win in front of the home crowd. Mm-hmm. And then, I think that you made a valid point. They may be starting to look into their 2011 car because they will have the Fiesta chassis there, albeit not the S2000T chassis and engine, but they'll continue to refine and collect data from the Fiestas and the SWRC, I would imagine.
Well, that's the whole point to having Henning drive the Fiesta, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, if I were running that Ford team, that's where every ounce of my effort would be focused this coming weekend.
Yep.
Would be on developing that chassis collecting data that you could apply to the 2011 chassis.
Yes.
Because right now, that focus is a dog on tarmac.
Yeah.
And if they're going to have any chance of contending for a manufacturer's championship next season, they have got to improve their tarmac performance.
Yep. I agree 100%. But heading into the rally, we'll just go ahead and make our predictions. Tarmac rally in Spain. It's going to be beautiful, I'm sure. I will actually follow through with what I say, and I will say that Danny Sordo will get the win. Just based off of what I just said.
Okay.
Yours is the obvious pick.
Well, I'm being swayed by your arguments here. I think you may be onto something, I think you might be right. They may give it to Sordo.
It'll be interesting, though.
Yeah, but now here's the interesting bit. Who comes in second, third?
Yeah, second.
I don't think you see Loeb down in fifth.
No.
I don't think you see him going out for just a weekend drive.
No, I think it'll be either Ogier or Loeb. Either way, it'll be Ogier, Loeb, and Sordo in some fashion at the top. My gut says that Sordo is going to get some really good treatment this year or this weekend for what's happened this year with Citroën already rounding out everything. So I think it'll go Sordo, Loeb, and then Ogier, because not to make it completely obvious, they'll make it look like on the last day that Loeb is closing in. And I mean, it's predictable. They'll say
manufactured results, right? Yeah, manufactured drama.
Loeb will say, oh, I'm not going to push real hard today. We're not going to catch Danny. And then come the third day, Danny, he's going to get probably within about 20 seconds of Sordo. And if that, maybe 10 seconds within Sordo. And that'd be the end of that. Because I don't think that I don't think that Loeb is good at gauging his pace. I think he's just fast all the time.
Yeah,
so
yeah. He has two speeds, fast and faster.
Yep. So we'll see.
All right. Well, let me ask you a question then.
All right.
We know that Ogier is absolutely brilliant on gravel. He's not as skilled on tarmac. That not that he isn't unskilled.
Yeah.
But gravel is his specialty.
Mm-hmm.
Any chance that here in Spain that Petter Solberg could take the last step on the podium and overtake Ogier?
I think he could. But then again, I think that maybe even it could be Solberg. But then again, if I'm going to toss Solberg's name in the mix, then I'm going to toss Latvala's as well, because he actually finished on the podium.
Oh, he did in France, right?
Yeah. France, yeah.
On the tarmac.
Yeah. So if, you know, I pick Ogier because I think Ogier, I just think he will.
Wait, did he?
What? He finished, or it may have been, which one was it? He finished on the podium on a tarmac rally. I just don't know which one that is. No, okay. It wasn't. I don't think it was France. I think he had failures there. What one was it?
Yeah, it was Solberg that.
Is it Germany?
He finished fourth in France. Solberg was on the podium.
I think Rally Germany may have been Latvala's podium. Ah, hell, I don't remember. I'm not going to speculate and guess and confuse people. So, I mean, regardless, Latvala's pace is good on the tarmac here recently. Not good enough to win or even mount a threat, but, you know, through attrition, he may make it. I think Solberg would have a better chance than Latvala, but I just don't think that they're going to beat Ogier. I mean, he's not an ace on tarmac, like you say, but he's no slouch either. So, you know, it really could go to any one of those three, depending on what happens.
Yeah.
So, and it's more than likely going to be dry, I'd imagine. So, not going to really have the wild card of the rain and the spinning and crashing kind of thing going on. But we'll see. But yeah, that's mine. Who you got?
You know, that's I really see Solberg finishing P3.
Okay, that's fair.
Ahead of
that's
Ogier.
Fair. That's not unrealistic at all.
Although, you know, I really do see at least a top four for Citroën, if not them filling up a full top five, but at least the top four will be Citroën cars, and you know, I think again. That just like we did in Rally France, I think we see Jari Matti finishing ahead of his teammate yet again. I don't think Hirvonen has the confidence anymore. I think he's kind of lost his mojo, so to speak. He's just not been in a groove. He's been out of sorts.
Yeah,
and Jari Matti has been outperforming him the past several rallies. I think we'll see it again here in Rally de España.
All right, and then into Korea, we'll do the rally, or we'll say Korea if it happens. I mean, if a race actually happens and the track doesn't.
Yeah, well, a Korean rally is probably the best way to put it. You know, since it'll be half tarmac, half gravel.
All right. Yeah. Right. All right. Well.
Thank you.
Yeah, he'll be here all week. Well, I will give you my pick. I'm going to say that it's going to be a Vettel win. It's going to be a. I'd say Vettel win, another Webber second, and I would have to say like a Hamilton in third.
Ooh, dissing your old team.
I'm not dissing them. I think they'll finish maybe fourth or fifth, but I mean,
as much as I'd like to see McLaren on the podium with the Mercedes engines.
Nice.
you know, I think that Ferrari has found more pace, and Alonso has better racecraft than does McLaren and Hamilton. McLaren has good pace, but I think Alonso has found more pace in the Ferrari than the McLaren team has found in their car. And Alonso definitely has superior racecraft to Hamilton. And so I, barring his doing something stupid, which I'm giving, I'll put the line at 7 to 5 against Vettel doing something stupid. So better than even, but only just. If he keeps it on the ribbon, I think you're right. Vettel wins. And then Weber. Well, it's going to be a toss up. Depends on how well suited the track is to the Red Bulls. It really looks like an ideal track for the Red Bulls, and if it is, it'll be a Red Bull 1-2. Vettel Weber with Alonso taking the third podium spot. Although, you know, if things go just right, I can see Alonso overtaking Weber for that P2 position and having a Ferrari separate the two Red Bulls. Now, that's if Vettel keeps it on the ribbon. If he bends it, if he does something silly, trying to overtake a lap car, one of the HRTs or something, then it is going to be Alonso's race. You know, when I watch Alonso race his Ferrari, it really reminds me a lot of watching Valentino Rossi ride his bike. You know, the level of racecraft and selective aggressiveness is just amazing. You know, it's just like watching a predator stalk prey. It's one of those things, just elegant, beautiful, deadly, all in the same go. And so if Vettel goes out, then Alonso will smell the blood in the water, and he will stalk and hunt down Weber and just set him up, put a just an insane move on him, and whew, you'll be gone.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
So so everything depends upon Vettel keeping it together. If he does, he's got the win. Weber in P2, Alonso in P3.
Excellent. Well, 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 that would bring about the end of the show. I don't think we did a good job on our 60 minutes, but that's all right. It was good talk nonetheless.
Oh, crap.
But, yeah, that's going to be it for us. I do want to take time to welcome the followers on our Facebook. We got a few of those here within the last few days. Welcome and thanks. And also on our Twitter feed, we got a few new ones as well. My Hamilton to third place prediction was for one of our new ones, that Little Miss McLaren or whatever her name is. I gave her the Hamilton pick, and you know,
Yay!
if she's new to the site, she'll know that that is actually truly an honor.
Oh, it is. It
So,
is. That's it. I was so surprised when
yeah.
you mentioned Hamilton. I'm like, what?
I could see it. I could see
Really?
it. The boy's fast. He just can't keep the car out of the wall.
Yes.
Or the
Yeah. That's just it. Yeah.
So, but we'll see. I think it'll. Everybody's on a clean slate. So this weekend, and may not be so clean once they start running, but we'll see.
Yeah. We'll at
But
least get a couple of practice sessions out of this weekend.
yeah,
We'll
exactly.
see if we actually get a GP.
Exactly.
That is definitely up for debate.
So, but that's all we have for this week, and thanks so much for joining us. So, come back next week. I'll be back. Doug will be back, and Mike will more than likely still be in the Smoky Mountains doing what he does, hiking. So it's f
Yeah.
such a foreign concept to me.
I know. I'd much rather just go. Well, for example, when I went on vacation this summer, did I go out in the middle of the wilderness where I had no facilities and nothing and was cold and had to sleep on the ground? No. I went to the Dominican Republic. I sat my butt on the
Nice.
beach.
Nice. Well
Had some
played,
rum,
sir. Well played.
cigars. That's how you do it.
Nice. Yes, Doug is a, or Doug is not, but Mike is a massive outdoorsman. And while I'm sure he would appreciate the Dominican Republic just the same, he also does appreciate the outdoors, which makes us such an integral part of our team. As
I
he
can enjoy the outdoors if the outdoors involves rum, cigars, and a beach.
agreed. So nature's just better when you have cigars and rum.
Yes,
So.
exactly.
All right, well, thanks so much for listening, everybody, and we'll be back next week. So until then, be safe and look forward to Doug's article on USAC IndyCar stuff tomorrow.
Yay.
So, or today, because you're probably listening to it today. So, all right, say goodbye, Doug.
Goodbye, Doug.
Nice. Bye.